The Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore. I'm the preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. Tom Moore preaches for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and we have a guest with us here tonight, Terry Jackson, the gospel preacher for the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. We are broadcasting from the HPR network, KATX 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5 out in Hereford, Texas. Also, we want to welcome our new listening audience at knowthetruthradio.org. It is an internet radio station. And we are streaming live there. We will be rebroadcast on knowthetruthradio.org at 9 p.m. tonight. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and we have a 1-800 number. And Tom, give us a 1-800 number.
Well, our 1-800 number is actually an 855 number.
Okay.
But the number is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. Or if you would like the numbers, the numbers is 855-722-4253. And also want to encourage y'all to also email us a question or a comment at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And so we'd be happy to entertain your questions or comments. We also have a webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org. And also I encourage you to look in at our blog, www.fromthepreacherspc.org. And you can find valuable information there and also archived radio programs at the webpage at harrisonmoore.org. And also remember to, again, tune in to the KNNK 97.7 and KNNK 100.5. Now, our sponsors, of course, are the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood. Now, we've been talking a lot over the past about politics and political things, and that's about gone by the wayside for a while. We'll just have to wait for a while before we have to deal with some of that. But we will be dealing with some moral issues from time to time when they come up. But we decided that it would be a good time, since we have some new listeners with us from Hereford and Eastland and perhaps around the world on knowthetruth.org or knowthetruthradio.org. We're going to talk about, beginning this Monday for as long as it takes, why I am a member of the Church of Christ.
Well, Ben, you mentioned all those churches of Christ. It may perk some interest along the way. Why is someone a member of whatever they are? If someone were to ask you, why are you a member of the church that you're a member of, what would the answer be? And that's what we're trying to find tonight. Why I am a member of the Church of Christ? Is it because you're a member of whatever you are, because your mama or your daddy was a member of that, or your grandmother or your grandfather, or is it because that's the one that's closest to your home? Or why is the reason? What is the reason that you are a member of the religious organization that you are a member of? Is it because it's the nicest building in town, or that's where most of the people go, and this is the social place to be?
Or maybe the best-looking preacher.
Could be. And we know that there's some problem with that as far as we're concerned.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that don't really question why they go to the religious organization they are. And let me give you an illustration how that a person can begin to do things and be something and never really realize why they're doing it. One Thanksgiving, a husband noticed his wife was cutting the end of a ham off. And then she would put it into a pan and put it in the oven and start cooking it. And he said, "Honey, why do you cut the end of that ham off before you put it into the oven?" She says, "Well, you know, I don't really know. I think I'll ask Mama." Well, she asked her Mama, "Mama, why did you always cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the oven?" She says, "Well, you know, I don't really know. That's just the way my mama always did it." And so she asked her Mama, "Mama, why did you always cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the oven?" She goes, "Well, sweetie, my pan was too small." We see a lot of people are doing things and have no reason why doing things of that nature. And so we need to ask ourselves a question. Why are we a member of the Church of Christ, or why are we a member of the religious organization that we are?
Mm-hmm.
And if someone were to ask you, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? We need to be able to give them sound reason, don't we, Terry?
That's right. You know, I think one of the things that happens is people take a lot of this for granted. They accept maybe what their parents or grandparents or the preacher said, and they don't research through the scriptures exactly what is the Church of Christ and what the church or what the church is all about that
mm-hmm.
they're a member of.
That's right.
They just take those things for granted.
You know, Isaiah adds a little bit of information to us about the importance of checking things out. In the King James, in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 21, it says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the Lord." Now, the New King James has a little bit different word there. What was that, Terry? It
says, "Present your case, says the Lord."
Present your case. And so that's really what we need to do, isn't it, David, to produce the reason why we are what we are.
Well, we as Christians need to be able to give an answer for what we know and what we believe. As a matter of fact, we are told by the Holy Spirit through Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 15, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you for a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So when somebody asks me, or when somebody asks you, what is the reason, why are you a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be able to give an answer. And if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be able to give a scriptural answer as to why you are who you are.
Exactly. And so as we begin this idea or this line of reasoning, I want to remind y'all that this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd love for you to call in with a question or a comment. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or you can email us a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org.
By the way, that is a toll-free number. Won't cost you a nickel.
Exactly. Now, I am a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded by the scriptural builder, Christ. We need to realize, don't we, that no church can be scriptural unless it was founded by the scriptural builder.
No doubt about that at all. And if the organization that you are a part of tonight, those of you who are listening, if it was not founded by Christ, you're in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place, because we're going to see as we go through here that the Bible gives us instruction as to what the church that Jesus Christ built is supposed to be like. It gives us the organization. It gives us the structure. It tells us when. It tells us how. It tells us who belongs.
Exactly. You know, in the fact that a religious body exists is proof that it was founded by someone.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't exist if it wasn't founded.
That's right. You know, so there are at least, 3,000 different religious organizations in the world, and thus each group was either scripturally or unscripturally founded by either an unscriptural or a scriptural builder. And so what we need to realize is, then, we must know who the builder was of each organization that we're a member of, and ask ourselves, is that builder a scriptural builder? Now, if a church is founded by a scriptural builder, it's scriptural, right?
Yes.
And if it's founded by an unscriptural builder, it is unscriptural.
Well, I mean, that's just good logical common sense.
Exactly.
So where do we go, Terry? Where do we go in our Bibles to find the scriptural builder? I mean, are we told where to go to find the scriptural builder? Who said that they built the church? I mean, as we read in our Bibles, where do we go to find this?
Well, where you have to go is we have to go all the way back to the Gospels, the book of Matthew, chapter 16. You know, Jesus was in his earthly ministry, of course, at this time, and as he was ministering, there's a lot of questions. Well, who are you? You know, what are you doing here? Why have you come? And so Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, they say they are Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" If you remember what Peter said was, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And at that point, you know, Jesus made a promise to them that flesh and blood had not revealed this in him, but thy Father in heaven. He said, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I, Jesus said, will build my church. The church is his. He is the founder. He is the builder, and it is his church.
So what you're telling me then, Terry, is it is that no church can be scriptural unless it was founded by Christ.
That's what the Bible tells us.
Now, if a church, David, was founded by John Calvin or Joseph Smith or John the Baptist or any other man, it is not scriptural.
No, it's not. And before we get away from that, I would like to go back to Matthew chapter 16 for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out something here that Jesus asked his disciples. He says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I want you to notice there what they said in verse number 14. They said, some say that you, Jesus, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Or some say you are one of the other prophets. And all of those are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Good guys.
Yeah.
Good men. Godly men.
Yes.
And every single one of those are wrong. So now, Jesus is basically saying, he said, okay, that's what they say. Now, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, there is the scriptural builder.
Mm-hmm.
There is the one and only scriptural builder. So your question to me was, if we have a church that was founded by someone other than Jesus Christ, is it going to be scriptural? Regardless whose name you put in there, whether it be John Calvin, whether it be Joseph Smith, John the Baptist, or any other man, it's still not going to be scriptural, even though some of those are good men.
Exactly. And so Jesus, in keeping with his promise to build a church, he gave Peter the authority to state the terms of admission into the kingdom,
mm-hmm,
or the church. What was the terms, Terry, that he'd given Peter there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19?
Well, he tells him that whatever Peter would bind on earth would be bound in heaven, and loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. I think we need to understand in the Greek what that means is that the things that Peter is about to preach has already been decided in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Peter is not making up anything new. This is not his idea. It's not his opinion. God, through the Holy Spirit, has given him the message to proclaim a little bit later on. And, of course, we'll see that in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. So the things, he was not just free to go willy-nilly, as it were, with his own opinions to come up with some kind of man-made church, organization, or salvation.
So he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with keys, David?
You open things up. They open doors.
So when did Peter first use these keys?
On the day of Pentecost. And that is found in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. Now, before we even get into the day of Pentecost and the terms, we want to remind everybody that this is a live call-in talk show. You can pick up the phone. You can call us. Will not cost you one thin dime. The number to call, write this down. It's a very simple number to remember, 855-QA-BIBLE. 855-QA-BIBLE. you a Bible. We would love to hear from you. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment to make about the religious, the scriptural builder of the church that we read about, the New Testament church of the Bible, we want to hear it tonight. And we've got answers. They are scriptural answers. Now, the terms that you're talking about, after Jesus was resurrected, in Luke chapter 24, he told his disciples, you go into Jerusalem and you wait right there until you be endued with power from on high. Mm-hmm. And when the power come, when the power came, the Holy Spirit was going to come. So they were going to be endued with power from on high, from the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he says, you go and you wait. On the day of Pentecost, it came, Acts chapter 2. We read all about it. It was there that they were immersed in that Holy Spirit baptism, the apostles, mm-hmm. the apostles were. And they were given the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues that they had never even practiced before, never even studied before. And it was there that they preached that first gospel sermon, and upon preaching that first gospel sermon, the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? There we have the first time the question is asked from men that want to go to heaven. What shall we do? What are you going to tell us to do? And that's when the terms of entrance into the kingdom, of the terms of entrance into the church were given in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38.
And there Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the terms of admittance. He opened the door and of the kingdom, the church, synonymous terms, and from that point on, man was able to enter the church. You notice there in verse 41 of that same chapter, then, when they heard this message, they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. And then in verse 47 of that same chapter, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be or such were being saved, the New King James. And so we see here when Peter preached that gospel message, the need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, he used that key to open the door to enter in to the kingdom of God. Now, this is what Jesus told him that he ought to be doing. The one who the church was founded upon.
Mm-hmm. So the entire church rests upon Jesus and his word.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the terms of entrance into the church. Now, if we look at this and we try to figure, somebody wants to come in a different way. Somebody decides, well, you know, that's just too much trouble to repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins. What's going to be the deal here, guys?
Well, you know, using the key to my house is not going to open the key to your house, is it?
No.
And so, if you want to get into God's house, whose key are you going to have to use, Terry?
You're going to have to use the key that God gives you. It's got to be the keys that he's given us through the Word of God, through his Word. And it is specific. I mean, you know, when you look at Acts 2:38, I don't know why, there's no question what we're told to do there, to enter into the kingdom. These people did it, and then they were added to the church as they did it.
Exactly. And so, in our day and time also, we need to realize that no human being ever had any authority to do what Jesus did, that is, to establish the church. Now, do we have a caller that's calling in? I want to try to. Maybe not. Well, in our day and in our time, it is also important to realize, to note that John the Baptist did not establish the church. There are many in the world who assume this and take on the name Baptist. And perhaps you have a friend or an acquaintance who refer to them as themselves as a Baptist. But it's important to note that John the Baptist was dead when Jesus promised to build his church. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 10, we read that John was beheaded. And notice that about a year later, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that Jesus promised to build his church. John the Baptist was a great man. but he did not establish the church.
No, he did not. And John the Baptist had a purpose, and his purpose was come to pave the way
mm-hmm.
for the one that would come later, and that would be Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Lamb. And he even refers to him as such. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11, we read this, and it's important that we pick up on these things. In chapter 11 and verse 11, he says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." He was never a member of the kingdom because he died before the kingdom was ever established. And so he was... The church was not established by John the Baptist. He paved the way for Jesus the Christ to establish his church, his body, his kingdom. And John the Baptist served a great and marvelous purpose, but it was not as a founder of the church of the New Testament.
Exactly. Now, Terry, what does the Bible tell us about other churches that Jesus did not establish?
Well, it tells us that any organization or anything that's not built by him is going to be rooted up.
Exactly.
That has no foundation. And so at Matthew 15, verse 13, he said, any plant that I've not planted, he said, shall be rooted up. And so if it's not of a heavenly architecture, it's going to be uprooted.
So if Jesus was not the founder of any religious organization, then that religious organization, Jesus says, is going to be rooted up.
That's what he said.
That means it's unscriptural.
Right.
That means you ought not to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first things we need to do then is to ask ourselves a question. Is the religious organization that I am a member of, was it founded by Jesus or was it founded by some man? And you know, we need to be honest about this.
Sure.
And we need to do some checking about this, because there are a lot of people who are in a religious body who assume that it was founded by Jesus, but in reality it was founded by some man.
Well, and not only that, there are a lot of people out there, and you know as well as I do, you've heard all of these people say, well, you know, God and I have a good relationship, and the relationship that I have is between God and me, and we don't need anybody else, and I can worship God any old way I want to. I can go out in nature. I can go down out by the roping pen, or I can go out by the cutting pen, or whatever pen I want to go by, and I can have a relationship with God, and God's going to be happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just simply not the case. If we're not in the kingdom, we're lost.
Exactly. Now, this is critical stuff, because we're talking about eternal destiny of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be right, don't you?
Sure, absolutely.
Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to call in with a question or a comment. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. Or you can also email a question to us at questions@harrisonmoore.org.
And we want to be sure and try to include everybody out there in Hereford, Texas. A little colder out there tonight than it is over here in Stephenville, but we want to encourage you to pick up the phone. It's a free phone call. Also, if you're listening on the internet on knowthetruthradio.org, we would encourage you again, 855-QA-BIBLE. You have a question, you have a comment that you would like to make. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's just hear what the Bible has to say and make the application to our lives.
Exactly.
And tonight we're talking about why we are who we are, why we are members of what religious organization that we are members of. We are members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know why.
Exactly. You know, and so we need to ask ourselves, and I ask you in the audience, are you a member of the religious organization that you are because that's the one mom and dad were always a part of?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a member of the religious organization that you are because it's the one that's closest to your home, or maybe it's the one that has the most young people, or maybe it's the one that has the best building in town, and or maybe it's got the prettiest preachers? Well, are the best looking preachers? Well, Denny emailed us in a moment ago and says that if they were looking for the best preachers, there would be nobody coming to our congregation. And he said especially that Jackson fella. I have it right here. But we want to be serious with you about this. it's important for us to really question what we're involved in. Why are you a member of the religious organization that you are?
Now, we were mentioning just a moment ago that the Bible tells us that other churches not established by Jesus are going to be rooted up. Now, we're not just coming up with this kind of stuff. This is biblical. This is scriptural. This is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 concerning false religions, concerning unscriptural organizations that were not founded by Jesus. And what he says here, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
Mm-hmm.
Shall be rooted up. Now, when you root up a plant, you kill it.
That's right.
It's dead.
Now, how do you put that alongside with the view that we had today, Terry, about people saying, well, you know, one church is as good as another? That's a mentality that really prevails in our world, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, and that's such a foolish remark, because one church cannot be as good as another. I mean,
why?
You said earlier we had 3,000 different religious organizations.
Exactly.
How many churches did Jesus promise to build? I mean, does the church that Jesus built, does that matter? Does it matter what that church teaches? Does it matter what that church believes? Does it matter that he is the founder, the architect of that?
Yeah, and so when Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So that's telling us if the church was not established by Jesus, it's going to be rooted up, right?
Right. What is it?
Exactly.
Well, now Jesus made this statement during the time of the law of Moses. Now, God planted the Hebrew religion, and all other religions would be rooted up. If God would uproot other religions in the time of the law of Moses, would he not do the same thing under the Christian system today?
Most definitely. And the Christian system is superior to the law of Moses, is it not? And God would not lower his standards.
Not at all.
And so any religion that God has not planted is going to be rooted up.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we want to pose this question to you. Why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? Again, is it because your mom and dad were members of it, or your grandma and grandpa? Is it the one closest to your home? Is it because it has the nicest building in town? Friends, myself, and David, and Terry, and a host of other people are a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded by the scriptural builder, Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a member of a congregation, a religious body that was founded by some other one than Christ, Jesus says you're going to be rooted up. Now, Paul said at another time, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? The things we talk about here are of eternal importance.
Right.
Jesus, we're going to notice later on, shed his blood for his church. He didn't shed it for a denomination. He didn't shed it for some other religious organization. He shed it for his church. And as Terry mentioned a moment ago, singular. Upon this rock I will build my church. Singular. And so we've got to be a member of the church that Jesus built. Now it's about time for us to have a break. And we're going to pick up on the other side of the break. You are now listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Well, we are continuing with our study on why I am a member of the Church of Christ, and the first segment we dealt with the fact that we are members of the Church of Christ because it was founded upon the scriptural builder. And it's very important that we understand who built the church. It was Jesus the Christ. Now, we're going to go right on with this, and we're going to make this comment. I am a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded upon the scriptural foundation. Now, for those of you who are listening to us, we have a new call-in number. It's a toll-free number. 855-QA-BIBLE. Very simple to remember, 855-QA-BIBLE. Call in with your comments, your questions. We will give you a Bible answer. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And so we are members of the Church of Christ because it was founded upon the scriptural foundation. Now, everybody knows the importance of a foundation. Regardless of what you're building, you've got to have the right foundation or it just flat won't work, will it, guys?
Exactly. You're no, right. I used to be in the construction business before I began a preacher, and we did lots of constructing of buildings and houses, and we realized that no structure built out of proportion with the foundation can stand, or if you build a structure on a poor foundation, it's not going to stand. And you know, Terry, the church is no exception. Its stability, its benefits are, you know, if it's not scriptural, there's not going to be any long-lasting benefit there.
No, you're right. And in fact, what you have a weak foundation, you have a weak body, a weak building. If you put a too small a foundation on a 17-story building, you're going to have a lot of problems coming up in the long run. In fact, it'll be an unsafe situation. And that's the way it is in any religious institution. If you have the wrong foundation, it's you've got a situation there where you've got a building that, number one, is unauthorized by God, and it's unsafe to be in.
Exactly. We got an email that just came in from Connie, and she says, "We as a bride would not be married long if we took on another man's name. The church is the bride of Christ."
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And you know, she does make a good point there, especially in light of the fact that Jesus founded the church, and also, as we're looking now, he is the foundation of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we're going to see he purchased the church. The church belongs to him. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And since the church belongs to him, whose name ought to be on it?
Jesus the Christ.
Exactly. Well, what is the foundation, Terry, upon which the scriptural church is to rest?
Well, if we go back to Matthew chapter 16 and look at verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And, of course, that rock is a big ledge rock, a very mm-hmm. large boulder, not some small pebble. And that actual foundation there that he's talking about is the confession that Peter made that Jesus is the Son of God. It's by his authority that this church will exist.
Exactly. You know, there are a lot of people who are trying to say that Jesus built the church upon Peter the man.
That's right.
But he makes a clear distinction between the two, right?
He does. The words are different. The word for Peter is a small pebble, whereas the word Petra, which is, has to do with the rock that's used here, that Jesus said will be the foundation or he will build his church, that is a large, large boulder, a ledge rock, as it were.
So the church was not founded upon the weakness of human flesh, but it was founded upon the divinity and the sonship of Jesus. Well, you know, there are other passages in the New Testament that also prove that what we are saying there with regard to that interpretation is true. Is it not, David?
Sure enough. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 11, Paul the Apostle, through the Holy Spirit, explains to the church at Corinth. He talks about this foundation. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He is the founder, and he is the one that is laying the foundation. And so here we are told, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus. Now, that is just about as crystal clear as you can get. A man can't go around laying and say, "This is my church. I'm going to build my church."
Uh-huh.
You have no right to build your
exactly.
church.
You know, and Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now I want to talk about that cornerstone for a moment. In ancient times, the cornerstone was the most important stone of the building.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerstone would have to be perfectly plumb, perfectly level, and perfectly square because all of the building was drawn from that cornerstone. If the cornerstone was out of plumb or out of level or out of square, then the rest of the building would be out of plumb or out of level or out of square. Jesus Christ, who was the perfect cornerstone, means that if we will pull from him, if we will level from him, if we will square from him, if you will, if we will use him as the cornerstone, the chief stone of the foundation, then we're going to be right. But if we begin to use man as a cornerstone in their frailties and imperfections, well, you're going to have an imperfect church. We don't need an imperfect church. We want the church Jesus built because he is the chief cornerstone. You know, we're also told in an Old Testament prophecy, in Psalm 118 and verse 22.
We have something that is prophesied, and it tells the truth just about the church today that Jesus Christ built. It says here, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner."
Mm-hmm.
The Jews refused to accept him, and he becomes the headstone of the corner. And this is a very important affirmation that we have here. He is the headstone. He is the head of the church. Without this headstone, without this head cornerstone here, the church cannot possibly exist.
Exactly. Jesus applied this prophecy to himself, did he not, in Matthew 21 and verse 42? And then Peter applied this prophecy to Christ, did he?
He did, Acts 4, verse 11.
What do you say there?
He talks about the fact that the stone that the
builders rejected,
has now become the
head of the corner.
Head of the corner,
exactly.
Jesus Christ.
So we've got to realize then that in the Old Testament it was prophesied about Jesus being the cornerstone, and now we see this coming to pass. Now the reason we bring this up is that shows that what we're talking about there in Acts chapter 16 and verse 18. As Peter's confession being the foundation and not Peter himself, these passages that we just look at confirm biblically that it is the confession of Peter and not Peter himself that was the foundation of the church. Now, the sublime foundation that Christ is the Son of God has stood and will continue to stand the test of time. the malicious and combined acts of the opposition have been not been able to weaken this foundation. The infidels, the atheists, the modernists, the skeptics have raved and ranted, but Christ remains the Son of the living God. This foundation may be truly compared to an anvil that has worn out many hammers. I love this little poem, and it really brings home what we're talking about, Jesus being the foundation. Last eve, I passed beside a blacksmith's door. I heard the anvil ring, the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, he said, and then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word. For ages skeptics' blows have beat upon, yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. Friends, today, this foundation upon which Jesus built his church is secure and is firm.
Well, we can see this today, and I know when we began this program, you said we're through with politics for a while, but I can't get it off my mind. The vote that we had last Tuesday in this United States of America was a vote against righteousness,
mm-hmm.
and it was a vote for unrighteousness. It was a vote against the Word and the will of God. It was a vote against the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a vote against all kinds of morality. It was a vote against the righteousness that God demands that each and every one of us has. Every one of these individuals are trying to tear down God's anvil, if you will, tear down the church, the kingdom that Jesus Christ built, but tear as they may and strike at it as they might, they will never, ever tear it down.
Exactly. Again, we ask you the question, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? What would they say, Terry? What should people be asking themselves?
One of the things that you have to ask yourself is it, do I read about it in the New Testament?
Uh-huh.
Is it the church that we read about in the book of Acts? Is it the church that has the right cornerstone? Is it the church that has the right foundation? Is it the church that has the right builder? These are all important questions.
So we shouldn't be going to a church just because mom and dad went to it.
No. Or because of social, you know, that sometimes because they have a greater youth program or more young people or more college age. That's not the drawing.
You know, a lot of times, and I'm sure all of you guys have also gotten this a similar phone call, what can your church offer me?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of mentality. In reality, well, what can you offer the church? Well, the church can offer you salvation, but if you're looking for entertainment, you're not going to find it here. And so we've got to realize when we're asking ourselves, why am I a member of the religious organization that I am? Ask yourself, am I of this group because my mom and dad were there, my grandma and grandpa? Is that really the reason I'm doing it? Remember the lady who cut the end of the ham off and she never asked or even thought about why? Why are you? It's not, you know, we can't believe the idea that one religion is as good as another, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Singular.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's imperative for us to question ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says we are to, examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith.
That's right.
And so we need to look carefully. And then in James chapter 1, about verse 25, we're to look into God's word like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you look into a mirror?
Well, if there's something amiss, you fix it.
Exactly. And so we've got to be looking at our lives and looking at how we're worshiping and looking at the religious organization that we are and say, is this right?
Right.
Not just take it for granted.
So if the church is not built by the scriptural founder, which is Jesus, if this church that you go to, if the religious organization that you go to is not the scriptural foundation, that would be the rock,
mm-hmm.
then it's got to be on the sand.
Exactly. We always used to sing that little song back in Sunday school, didn't we, about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And, you know, in reading those there, you got that for us?
Sure did.
Read that. That's a very powerful verse in what we're talking about here.
Yes, and it begins actually in verse number 21 when he makes a startling statement, Jesus himself, and this may flabbergast some people out there that think that everybody's going to go to heaven. By the way, if you want to ask us about that, please call 855-QA-BIBLE, toll-free number, 855-QA-BIBLE. In verse number 21 of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, right there is the great separator.
Exactly. I'm surprised, David. You know, it seemed like to me that probably 90% of the world believe that all you got to do is say Lord or say the sinner's prayer.
Yes, yes. And he goes on to say, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works?" Now, these are not just a bunch of heathen folks out here. These are religious people that know Jesus.
Exactly.
And he says, "Many will say unto me in that day, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Therefore, because everybody's not going to heaven that says unto me, "Lord," therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, what we're told here, fellas, is that if that church is not upon the scriptural foundation, the rock, Jesus the Christ, it's not going to stand.
And so to have a firm foundation, we're going to have to not only hear, but we're going to have to obey.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people out there in the religious world who have their foundation built upon a sand who are hearing, but they're not doing the will of God because they're not checking themselves out to make sure what I, you know, I'm amazed, you know, our eternal destiny is so valuable to us, you know, because it's forever. You make a mistake here and it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people, Terry, have the desire or the aptitude to want to check themselves out to make sure that they're right?
I don't know that we can answer that for everyone. I guess there's different reasons. I think sometimes we get so comfortable where we are that we don't really want to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to get out of our comfort zone.
It would be an indictment to mom or grandma or something, too, you know.
Exactly. And sometimes I think we just don't want to have to think for ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want to be held accountable for what we have decided in this. So,
you know, a lot of times people out there are like little birds. You remember in the springtime when the little birds are in the nest and mama flies up there and all of a sudden what happens? All those birds just open their mouth up and they swallow whatever mama drops. Well, we have a lot of people in the religious world who are sitting there in the audience and who are swallowing whatever their preacher throws out there. And we need to be willing to check out. Well, you know, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans, they checked somebody out, didn't they?
Yes, they sure did. They were checking out Paul the Apostle of all people.
That's amazing.
It is, and here is one thing we want to get across. By the way, don't forget this is a live call-in talk show. We've got a toll-free number out there, folks. This will cost you not one thin dime to call this number, 855-QA-BIBLE. Certainly, someone out there disagrees with what we're saying. Certainly, someone out there questions what we're saying. We're going to give you Bible answers for Bible questions. We want you to call in. If you've got a question, if we would encourage each and every one of you, if you have a question about where you're attending, where you profess to be in a religious organization, go talk to your preacher, your pastor, whatever it is that you call him, and you ask him about the foundation. You ask him, was the church where you go, is it founded upon the scriptural builder? Is it founded upon the scriptural foundation that you read about in the New Testament, the rock that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And with that, are we doing then what the rock says to do?
Exactly. You know, Jesus as that rock, that chief cornerstone, what Jesus says and what he stood for is going to stand the test of time. There was a man, an agnostic, by the name of Voltaire, who once boastfully declared that there would not be a copy of the Bible on earth in 100 years. It has been more than 100 years since that blasphemous prophecy was given, and it is no closer to fulfillment now than it was then. As a matter of fact, on the same printing press on which this infidel's prophecy was issued, Bibles are now being printed by the Geneva Bible Society. God's Word. That foundation is an anvil. I don't care how many times people beat on it, it's still going to stand.
Well, you know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It will never pass away.
Well, Terry, what about the institutions that are founded by men? What's going to happen to them?
They will pass away.
Exactly. What did Jesus say about them back in Matthew there, chapter 15, verse 13?
They'll be rooted up.
Rooted up. So they're going to pass away, they're going to be rooted up, and then we got the foolish man who built his house upon the sand that's going to fall. Now, let me ask you a question. You out there in the audience, the congregation, the religious organization that you are a member of, was it founded upon Jesus? Was he the builder of the church? And if not, then the religious organization that you're a member of, sadly, is on sand. And it's not going to last. We've got to realize this is very, very important. These foundations that have been written about on man are going to fall. And so we've got to realize that we're going to have to build on the firm foundation.
Mm-hmm. And this is not hard to find. You don't have to go to some theologian to figure this out. All in the world you have to do is take your New Testament, and you can see the church that Jesus built. Now, I'm a member of the Church of Christ because not only was it founded by the scriptural builder, not only was it founded on a scriptural foundation, but it was founded in the scriptural place, and that would be Jerusalem. That is where the church first began. That is where it was founded. You know, you look at things that we know today: Domino's Pizza, Papa John's Pizza. These all started in a place. If you go to buy a franchise of Papa John's Pizza, and Papa John's Pizza was established over here in City A, but the one that you want to buy a franchise of was founded over here in City B, it can't be the same place.
Exactly.
It can only be founded in one place.
Exactly. And so if a member should be a member of a church that was founded in London, or Rome, or Salt Lake City, or New York, he can't be a member of the large church because the large church was founded in Jerusalem.
No doubt. Absolutely. And this is what the scriptures tell us.
Exactly.
This is exactly where Jesus told his apostles to go and wait.
And in light of this, we have an email. Bill sends the email, and he begins by quoting a verse. It says, "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." And his question is, what are we to do that will cause people in today's society to try this simple feat.
And this is truly a simple feat. All in the world that they did, they searched the Scriptures, they received the Word with eagerness, they examined the Scriptures to make sure that they were doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Now, the question that he asked is a tremendous question. And Bill, we thank you for the question. What are we to do to cause these people in society to just go after this simple feat? We're trying tonight to get people to question themselves.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing wrong with there, is it? You know, we need to be willing, as we mentioned earlier, right, in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to be willing to examine ourselves. I want to go to heaven, don't you guys?
No doubt.
And I want as many people as possible to go. And so we need to be willing to question ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Am I really doing what the Bible says? And that's so true with regard to what religious organization that we're in, because 3,000 different religious organizations and most of them teaching something different, they all can't be right, can they, Terry?
No. You know, and that's one of the things that amazes me. You know, how many times have you guys and have we heard somebody say, well, we're all headed to the same place, we just go in different directions. How many ways are there? I mean, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the foundation. He's the builder. Jesus gives us the plan of salvation. Therefore, that's what we have to follow. There's not 3,000 different avenues. There's not 3,000 different ways. There is one way.
You know, if we're in Stephenville right now and we want to go to Dallas, and we say, well, one way is as good as another. Okay, Terry, you go south and I'll go north. Who's going to get there?
Neither one of them.
Exactly.
Or northeast, or however you go.
Right.
But, you know, there is an importance for us to realize with regard to salvation. There is one way. It's the Lord's way.
Right.
And that's what those Bereans did. They searched the Scriptures, examining them daily to make sure they were right.
Well, you know, you quoted, and we've quoted this several times, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And then he goes on to say more stringently and more affirmatively, prove your own selves. Prove it. He wants proof that you are in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to prove this, we're going to have to actually get up and do something about what we believe and what we are doing. Now, we're just about out of time. For those of you who are listening at KXTX 97.7 and KNNK 100.5, we want to thank you so much for your attention tonight and for your tuning in to the radio program as we have broadcast. We want to thank you. We want you to be encouraged to examine yourself, to prove your own self, and to tune in here next week and be with us again as we concern ourselves with why we are, who we are religiously. And we need to be right on this. We can't be wrong on this. We need to be right. Tom,
exactly.
You're going to give you the last word.
You know, when we think about this idea of religion, we want to be right because our soul destiny depends on it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's important for us to be like those Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that what they were being taught was really so. We're happy that you've been in our audience. You have been listening to the HPR network, KTX at 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5. And we're happy now to be a part of the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. It's important for us to realize these avenues that we have that we can listen to and tell our friends about them. Be sure and check in to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. You can also check the www.harrisonmoore.org website. You can look at the blog from thepreacherspc.org, seekyefirst.com, and many others. We're happy that you've been with us, and we'll see you next time as we discuss why I'm a member of the Church of Christ.